Okay, we'll take your questions next now with Dr. Ellen Botkin on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie with Dr. Ellen Botkin and your phone calls. Let's take some calls right now. Ellen, you ready? Let's pick him up there, Mr. B. There you go. Wildcard line, you're on the line with us. Hi there.
Hi, is George?
Yeah.
Hi, George. This is Julia. I'm calling you from Camarillo, California.
Great.
My question for Dr. Botkin is this. When my mother died, she had advanced Alzheimer's, and I was wondering if I was able to contact her with that method, if what condition her mind would be in. Would she be still the same?
I have a good answer for that, and that is every time that we have induced an after-death communication with somebody who was ill or had a severe disability or and so on, when they were experienced in the ADC, the deceased were always experienced as completely healthy.
Oh, that makes me feel good.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And they're also experienced as most often younger. So people who die old and sick are always experienced as younger and healthy and completely healthy.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that? Why do they look younger and healthier?
Well, if these experiences are real spirit communications, then this information would suggest that the spirit stays young and healthy. It's just the body that gets old and sick.
Next up, let's go to our wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast with us. Hi there.
Hello.
Yeah, hi. Welcome to the program. Good to
not
have you with
bad.
Us.
I'm not too bad. How are you tonight?
Good. Thank you.
I'd like to ask the doctor, can an event in your life hook you up psychically in a biblical sense?
I'm not sure what you mean.
Rephrase that a little bit,
psychically
if you can.
In a biblical sense?
Yeah, well, I had an event in my life that... I like astral travel, I guess, back into biblical times. And this has been happening over and over and over again.
Wow. You know, I know there's a whole body of research that includes out-of-body experiences and that kind of astral travel kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
I am not expert in that and actually know very little about it. I do know Paul Elder wrote a wonderful book, Eyes of an Angel, also published by Hampton Roads, and that's a topic he's very familiar with and writes about.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right. Sorry we couldn't help you a lot, but we did the best we could on that
yeah.
one.
You know, George, I thought of adding something to a prior discussion we had.
You all right?
You know, we're talking about, you know, what kind of evidence is there, pro or con, that these experiences are real.
Yes.
And so, you know, another question I get quite a lot is, how do you know these aren't just a product of imagination?
That's true. How do you?
Well... first of all, one of the hallmarks of the ADC experience is that they always come as a surprise to people, the actual content of the experience. It's never quite what people expect. If the experience was based just on imagination or wishful thinking, people would not be surprised. As a matter of fact, there are a number of ADCs that I've done where people didn't even understand the message or they even disagreed with it. So, I mean, it's very difficult to think that someone imagines getting a message that they don't even understand. And my favorite example is I was working with a guy who was doing an ADC with his father. And at one point, he, in his ADC, he asked his father for advice on what he should do with his life. Well, he got the advice, and he opened his eyes and told me what his father had said, which was, use your tools. And he looked at me in a real perplexed kind of way, and he said, I don't know why my father would say that. My tools have been in the back of my garage for 20 years, and I've lost my skills, and I don't think I could go back to that. Why would he tell me to use my tools? And, of course, I said, I don't know. Why don't you ask him? So I induced the experience again, and he went back, and he sat there for a while. When he opened his eyes, he said his father explained it to him, that what he meant by use your tools, he meant use the tools you're learning in therapy.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's those kind of experiences that argue against that people are just imagining this stuff or just making it up. There's an... And sometimes they even disagree with the advice they get from the deceased. I worked with one guy who he was working on the death of his son. His son had been murdered.
Oh, God.
And he had a wonderful ADC with his son. When his son was killed, my patient and his wife then went through a divorce. And part of the divorce had to do with the fact that my patient blamed his wife for the death of their son.
Sure.
So, but anyway, in the ADC, the son told my patient that he should get back together with his wife, or his mother, the deceased's mother. And when he opened his eyes and told me what his experience was, he says, you know, that was really wonderful, so on. I feel so much better. He said, but my son told me that I should get back to my wife. He said, there's no way I'm going to do that.
Man. Okay, next up, east of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, this is Michael in Norfolk, Virginia.
Oh, Michael, thanks for calling.
Hi.
Thank you. Dr. Botkin, I remember a year or two ago when you were on with Ian Punnett.
Mm-hmm.
You were asked if you would be willing to participate in a coast-to-coast panel discussing these issues with your peers, and you said yes. And unfortunately, that hasn't come about, and I think that's really unfortunate in view of the fact that George and his crew have done so well with the Kennedy assassination by using these panels. And this is a critically, critically important area that you're getting into. Years ago, psychologists used to tell us that anyone who had such a strong desire to get in touch with a deceased person that they would be willing to go to a medium to do it, was in dangerous denial of reality. Now, you say that some 40,000 therapists since the early 1990s have now gotten into this business, which sounds absolutely no different from mediumship.
Well, okay. First of all, the 40,000 are people who are EMDR trained, not IADC trained.
Yeah, I understand. But I'm just saying that with the trend going where it is, we need a peer review on something like this. Now, George raised some very important questions earlier in the program.
Mm-hmm.
He talked about aliens. He talked about demons. He talked about other spirits.
Mm-hmm.
He talked about hallucinations and the relationship to drugs that produce these experiences.
Mm-hmm.
He's asking a lot of good questions.
Yes, he
is. But really, this kind of format where you don't have a peer review panel banging these things out for 2 or 3 days in a row on Coast to Coast, this is dangerous, because we got a lot of people that are leaving your fellow therapists and trying this stuff on their own. Now, we have churches that are practicing a similar thing. If you want to have a good parallel, they're inviting illegal aliens to come into this country. How do you know, in reaching out to the spirit world, you're not inviting some other kind of aliens into this country?
Well, yeah, I mean, I have a couple responses. I mean, first of all, you know, a lot of questions George asked me were very good, intelligent questions. I know a lot about some things, but not so much about other things. So when George asked me a good question and I don't have a good answer, I pretty much just have to say I don't know.
That's why we need a panel.
Right.
That's why we need peer review.
How do I get involved in one of these panels?
We can't play with this like it's nothing, like it's meaningless, like it doesn't count. I heard Pat Buchanan say he comes on right after this show in this local WNIS Norfolk area. I heard him say after Art Bell went off last night in an interview with Jim Bohannon that we've never had in history an invasion like we are having in the United States. We've had three times as many illegal invaders come into this country as went into Europe during both World War I and World War II to try to put down the trouble over there. This is unprecedented. Now, you people are calling in spirits that you admittedly don't understand, or calling in some forces that you don't know what you're dealing with. And we have plenty of people that have come on this program that have told us, yeah, there are beings out there to worry about. And we have the record of the scriptures that tell us, hey, things are going to build up in the end so that the devil is going to come down to you having great wrath. Well, listen, maybe you and your fellow therapists are inviting them in. The Bible says that to seek the dead is to call in these demons. Now, why shouldn't we take that seriously?
Well, the only thing I can say is that, as we discussed earlier on the show, that all of the inductions we have done have all been very positive, loving, and healing. I just simply have no evidence, or there's no reason for me to believe that we're calling in anything negative or demonic or anything.
Okay, let's move on to a couple more calls. This hour's flying by. West of the Rockies, welcome to Coast. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi, yeah, this is Vernon Snow of Costa Mesa.
Hey, Vernon, go ahead.
Hi.
Hi. I have a question. My grandfather was in World War II. He was a German Marine. And if I wanted to contact him, would there be like a little problem? My mother and the rest of my family are from Germany. But I don't speak the language that well. Would there be a problem if I contact him?
You mean in terms of language?
Yeah. I don't know if he speaks English yet.
That is an excellent question, and I get asked something similar quite often. I have worked with many people who have ADC, deceased people, who did speak a different language, and I did that a number of many times. When working with combat veterans with PTSD who were in Vietnam, and they would ADC even enemy soldiers that they had killed, and the enemy soldiers only spoke Vietnamese. What's interesting is that in the experience, people don't describe hearing a different language. What they describe is like the communication is more on a telepathic kind of automatic level, where they feel like, you know, the thoughts are being directly put in their head. So actually, believe it or not, there are no language barriers.
Oh, great. Well, thank you. I'm just real interested in he was. I heard he's a wonderful guy, so I just wanted to know who he is.
Yeah. That's certainly possible with this.
Alan, if people want information about doctors or psychologists who are part of the program, they find it off your website. How do they move on?
All of the available IADC therapists are listed on the website with their town and state and contact information. And I encourage people to go to the website. Again, it's induceadc.com. And to find if there's an IADC therapist near you, and simply contact that person and set up an appointment.
Okay, next up, first-time caller line, you're on Coast to Coast with us. Hi there.
Oh, hi. Hi, George. How are you?
Good.
Yeah, this is Gary from California.
Mm-hmm. Hi, Gary.
Hi, how are you? Yeah, anyway, my question is, have you had any experience with people wanting to contact loved ones that passed away as a result of suicide?
Yes.
Was there any difference with that or any kind of information you can explain about that?
Yes. I have done a number of cases where the deceased had suicided. And what's interesting is that Hanya and I were talking earlier about these experiences seem to be beneficial to both survivors and the deceased. That's the way they're reported.
Uh-huh.
And people who suicide are oftentimes, or most oftentimes, very concerned about the pain that their suicide caused in others.
Okay.
And those kinds of issues as well, you know, and, you know, generally survivors, if, you know, if you're a parent and your child suicides, there's usually a tremendous amount of guilt associated with that. Like,
yeah.
You know, I should have seen it coming. I should have been able to stop it. You know, what did I do wrong? That kind of thing. But those kind of issues get addressed and worked on in the experience.
And does it end up being a positive experience
yes.
for the
yes.
person who comes to you to them?
Yes. So far, they've all been positive.
Okay.
I did have one case. I have to be honest. You know, this therapy works nearly all the time. Even when people do not have the ADC experience, which occurs in a low percentage, they still are managed to work through their sadness and feel a great deal of relief at the end. I did have a case recently. Of course, I won't mention any names or locations, but she came in and she had a family member who had suicided, and we were not successful. And I think the reason is. She was so overwhelmed by guilt that it was difficult for me to do the procedure because the procedure requires that I do the eye movements on her sadness. And she was a little bit out of touch with her sadness because of her overwhelming guilt. And that was one case that didn't turn out so well.
Okay. All right.
But,
okay,
but in all other cases of where the deceased had suicided, people are able to achieve closure and some peace of mind.
You know, it's also interesting, Alan, as we get to the holiday season, people are more and more interested in this as well, that connection of trying to stay in touch with a departed one.
Right. You know, in Thanksgiving and the winter holidays and so forth, those situations can, certainly trigger memories of deceased family members and so on. And it's times are remembered when the deceased were there enjoying those times with the family and so on. And when they're not there, holidays can be very difficult.
Do you think religious people would accept this, what you're doing?
Well, actually, yes. Most of the religious people I've talked to, and in fact, I even talked to, I'm not Catholic myself, but I had the opportunity to talk to a Catholic bishop, and I won't mention his name because I didn't, I don't think he wants to make this, what he said, a public statement. But I asked him, I said, there are some religious groups that think, as this previous caller mentioned, that this is somehow the work of the devil, and which was always difficult for me to believe because these are so loving and healing. But the Catholic bishop said that this is very consistent with the Bible. This is what the Bible's been saying to all of us for a long time, the idea of an afterlife and so on.
All right, well, stay with us, Alan. We'll be back. We'll take final phone calls in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And our guest tomorrow on our next Coast to Coast program is none other than Alex Jones. Yep, the Bulldog. And we'll be back with final questions with Dr. Alan Botkin on Coast to Coast AM. You know, I guess, Alan, we can assemble a group of panelists to talk about what Michael from Norfolk wanted us to do. But, you know, I think it might even be a better program if we add a skeptic in there, someone who doesn't believe it, as well as a number of people who do. What do you think?
Oh, sure. That would make it much more complete. Sure.
I think so, too. Let's go to the phones. Wild card line, you're on Coast to Coast. It's your turn. Hi there.
Hi. This is Nancy from Canoga Park, California.
Hello, Nancy. Go ahead.
Hi.
This is a question for the doctor. I'd just like to know if it's possible to contact a relative that I never knew, such as a great-grandfather?
Yes, that is possible, and I have done a few cases like that, yeah.
I see. And even if the person, there's no written record that they even existed, but yet the family knows that he did.
Well, if he existed, then he can be ADC'd.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Appreciate you calling the program. Let's move on to our wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Hi.
My name's Christine from Valley Springs, California.
Okay.
And hi, Dr. Bodin, is that it?
Botkin.
Botkin?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, hi.
Hi.
This is a really interesting subject, and I could have a ton of questions for you, but I know I got to narrow it down to my most important one. It was really interesting to hear your answer when the guy called about the different languages that he still could understand. Mm-hmm. They could still communicate because it was telepathic, and that partly answers my question about the animals. I've been suffering for about 6 years, and I appreciate that you guys don't laugh at what anyone
nope.
might not consider as dumb questions, because my cat died, and I've been suffering ever since. And I was wanting to know if you could get very specific and tell us, you know, about a patient's now, I know you don't have to use their names, of course, so
mm-hmm.
if you can tell us more specifically, like, you know, especially when it comes to animals, like, did the animals tell them that they're okay and that, you know, they'll see them again, or, you know,
well,
give me some peace of mind here.
Okay. My experience, and I haven't done a lot of pets.
Uh-huh.
You know, I have maybe 10 or 15 cases, something like that.
Okay.
In each case, dogs were experienced as still dogs and cats were experienced as still cats. In other words, they weren't speaking English suddenly.
Right.
But
telepathically, I bet, you know, because you can understand when someone's speaking a different language, I just
yeah.
put that together as, well, I wondered, you know, if they can understand what their beloved pet is
well,
feeling.
You know, in fact, I even think of one that's in my book. My co-author had an experience with an IADC with his cat.
And oh,
tell me
about it.
Oh, when he experienced the cat, he experienced the cat purring and rubbing his face on my co-author's chin.
Oh.
And so it was, there weren't any words involved,
mm-hmm.
but the message was clear. It was that the cat's love for this, for Craig, continued.
And that he was okay?
Yeah, and that he was purring. He was fine.
Do you ever get a sense of, like, where they're at, what kind of surroundings they're in, you know, like if it's green grass and sunny
days?
Oh,
yes.
And
that's a very good question. The surroundings are very earth-like. In other words, there are trees, bushes, flowers, plants.
Oh, good.
except it's people describe those landscape scenes as more beautiful than earthly land.
I would hope so. Yeah.
And they say, you know, it's a, you know, I see a forest and bushes and trees, And, you know, it's just like here on Earth, except it's much more beautiful. The plants and so on seem to radiate light, and it's just very comforting, that place, wherever that is. It reminds me of one guy I was working with, and he found himself in a strawberry patch. And he said, "You're not going to believe this, but those strawberries were the size of a cantaloupe, and they were the deepest red I have ever. I've never seen a red that deep on Earth." So it's very Earth-like, but very beautiful.
It sounds like you're not afraid to die.
Me?
Yeah.
Correct.
I'm not saying you want to. I'm just saying you don't. You're not afraid to.
No, not really. In fact, on some level, I look forward to it. I'm not in any hurry, but, no, I'm not.
All right, next up, let's go to our wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast with us. Hi there.
Hi, George, and hi, Dr. Alan Bakken, I believe it is.
Correct.
I have a couple questions to ask. I'm a combat force recon Marine. George, I think you know who I am in Cheney, Washington.
Sure, Joseph, sure do.
I'm working hard at writing a book concerning PTSD because I've been diagnosed with it as being probably the worst case in the state of Washington, and I've progressed really well over 14 years.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm curious, where have you practiced at, and what have you written about it, where I can find out information?
My book, and I have a lot of combat cases in my book. My book is Induced After Death Communication, A New Therapy for Healing Grief and Trauma. And IADCs are used cases of severe trauma as well.
Okay.
And I would say anybody with PTSD, the treatment of choice is EMDR.
Which is the
more basic form of what I do. And you can get an EMDR therapist near you by going to EMDR.com.
Yeah, I do real well with one-on-one with a psychiatrist. I mean, I've been working hard for 14 years with her, and I'm not using any medications or...
Well, good for you.
It's been hard work on my part and on the good Lord's part, too. I think, Mr. Norrie, I would be a man that you'd want on that panel in disagreement because I'm also very knowledgeable of the Bible.
Right.
I don't go to church every Sunday. I go to what's called a cowboy church up in this neck of the world, and we study the Bible, but it is very explicit about God telling us not to communicate with the dead. And then I'll take that a step further. I have a lot of Native American friends all throughout this state, all through Arizona, the Hopi, many, many, many connections in my networking as a law enforcement officer, retired. And they talk many, many times we've got into the conversations about the spirit world and how that people only with strong, strong personalities need even deep go there if they want to open Pandora's box, that is.
I did work with a Native American combat vet, and when I explained my IADC procedure to him, he was somewhat hesitant to do it because his elders had taught him that when somebody dies, the spirit divides into two parts, the good and the bad, and that only the bad can be reached or communicated with. And so he was concerned that he would experience something negative. But his ADC went just like everyone else's, and he had a positive, loving experience.
All right, Joe, thanks for your call. We've got a few more callers lining up here with not enough time. West of the Rockies, welcome to the show. Hi there.
This is Judy.
Hey, Judy.
Hi, Judy.
And I'm in an 18-wheeler in southern Kansas right now. And thank you for taking my call,
George. Sure thing, Judy.
Wonderful show tonight. And my question to the doctor is, earlier someone had asked about being able to contact children. And my question is it possible to contact preemies, babies, do they continue growing after we've deceased?
Yes. It's interesting that the people who died when they were old and very sick are always seen as younger and healthier. It's very interesting that children who die very young, sometimes at childbirth and so on, in their IADC, sometimes the child is much older and they come through as if they have grown on the other side. And in other experiences, they seem to have stayed younger or stayed young. So there's more variability in terms of working with children who died very young.
Well, thank you. I appreciate your answer.
Okay, likewise. Next up, East of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, Mr. Norrie and Dr. Bolkin.
Hello.
Hi. Good evening. I believe 90% of what you guys are saying, and I caught this kind of late, but Dr. Botkin, I'd love to get with you about some of my theories, but I'm responding to a caller from the last hour the guy who went long-winded, who suggested he went off on the religious rant. Don't get me wrong. I've been studying all about end times for the last 20 years, but it has been my serious personal experience that the suggestions in my life to change myself has come when I've been smoking marijuana, and it hasn't been like a division kind of split personality kind of thing, but there has been something that's been locked that just looks at me and says, what are you doing, man? What are you doing? Come on. This is what you've got to do better. And I'm just wondering if some of these things that could be construed as something from the other side telling us to do something and change ourselves and change our lives is not really just ourselves telling ourselves, hidden deeply within ourselves that we can't see normally, that just comes out and says, look, this is wrong. You're screwed up, and this is how you're screwed up, and this is how you need to change it. Get it done. Come on.
Yeah. You know, there are a lot of different possible theories for this, and I would love to discuss them with you as well. Another part that we haven't really mentioned when we talk about, when we ask the question, is there evidence that these are real or not real and so on? I've done no formal studies, and I know of no one who has, that really addressed the concept of new information that comes through in an IADC. But all the bits and pieces that we have gotten over the years, anytime we got a new bit of information, it always turned out to be true, and the experiencer was not aware of it. There have been times where deceased people have shown up in ADCs, and my patient said, "What's he doing there? He's alive. Why is one alive person in my ADC?" Well, every time that happened, and that's happened a few times, every time that happened, we were able to find out that that person had indeed died. So I have a lot of information like that, which is in my book, where information comes through. And again, it's just in bits and pieces. But anytime we did get new information, it always turned out to be true.
Alan, did anybody ever come to you for help because they were being haunted and they wanted it to stop, so they needed to communicate with that person, that spirit?
No, but I have a related story, which was I did an ADC with somebody a few years ago, and he had a wonderful ADC, but that night he experienced the deceased person coming back to him again, and he was spooked by that. And he came in and told me the next day that the ADC continued at night, and it made him feel very uncomfortable. And what I did is I instructed him, if that happens again, to tell the deceased that he's uncomfortable with that and to please not do that. So, and the deceased did come back, and he told the deceased that, and they stopped.
Let's go to our wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast with us. Good morning.
Hi. I have a question. Can this be used to part of your own self you feel has died. For example, in post-traumatic stress, you may be grieving that sense of your lost innocent self.
Yes.
Or in stressful current conditions, you feel you become cold and hard, and you're grieving the loss of that carefree, happy person you used to be.
Yeah.
That seems to have died.
There are a couple ways I can answer that question. First of all, if people feel like they lost their innocence and lost a part of them due to some life experience, the I movement can help a person process whatever that trauma or life experience was that led them to feel that way. So it can be cleaned up indirectly like that. The other part of the my answer is that I have also done the used the same basic procedure to do what's called inner child work, where the person feels like they go back and assist, nurture, and help their younger self who sort of feels stuck being out there somewhere as a result of some negative life experiences.
So it's not that part of you has truly died. It's there somewhere it can be reached.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
And there's a long theory as to, you know, how this stuff might be working that I think could explain how those two things are similar. But the answer to your question, the easy answer is yes.
So you continue to do this, Alan? No needs of you to move on? You're not going to retire or anything?
Well, I early retired from the VA hospital.
Right.
So I could bring this information to the public. And right now I'm busy with a lot of projects. I've written a few articles for magazines. I've been interviewed for magazines. I have three documentary film producers who have already started filming. We don't have all the funding in place for a documentary, but hopefully we will have something like that in a year or two.
Very good. Alan, thanks for being on the program. Appreciate it, and good luck.
Well,
and get your website out one more time.
It's always good talking with you.
Induced-ADC.com, right?
Induced-ADC.com, correct.
The phones are ringing off the hook for him right now. As a matter of fact, for Steve Carr, Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesur, Ross Mitchell, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.